Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. As mentioned earlier, our sermon text for this morning is the Old Testament lesson for this day, Amos chapter 7, verses 10 through 15. We hear again the last two verses. Amos answered Amaziah, "I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a shepherd. And I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel.'" This is God's word. In the name of our Savior, Jesus, dear fellow redeemed. Now and then, there are polls taken, and perhaps you've seen the results, that ask people what their greatest fears are. And some of them are quite understandable. Some of us share them. Fear of snakes, fear of heights, fear of water, whatever it is. And while many people will take those fears and turn them finally into energy, shake the nervousness, shake that quaking feeling and turn it into that kind of excitement one gets before the big game or the important meeting. Nevertheless, those fears are there and they're very real. And what seems a little surprising, perhaps, is a fear that, generally speaking, doesn't involve personal danger, doesn't have the same logic behind it as heights or snakes or poison, whatever it might be. It's the fear of public speaking. Public speaking. It often makes the list ahead of death itself. As people contemplate the idea of standing before others, whether they're a group of 10 or 100 or 1,000, and simply talking, speaking, saying what needs to be said. And there too, people, I know it personally, take that nervousness and turn it into, energy. But for some, that lingers all through life, whether small group or large, the fear of saying the wrong thing, or of saying the right thing the wrong way, or the fear, depending on the size of the group or not, of that one set of ears, that one set of eyes that's out there in the group that brings on that, fear of saying what needs to be said. This morning we think on that in the very special context of saying what needs to be said from the Word of God, and we're encouraged on the basis of the words that the Holy Spirit inspired the prophet Amos to record, to speak God's Word boldly. Each of us, Christians, speak God's Word boldly, though the message may be difficult and the reception might be hostile, but keeping in mind that the Lord has called you to do it. The prophet Amos was from the land of Judah. And recall that after Kingdom Israel split in half, the northern kingdom kept the name Israel, roughly the 10 tribes that went that way. And to the south, Judah and basically Benjamin became what's known as the southern kingdom, and they kept the name of one tribe, Judah. Amos was from there, and yet he was tasked with going north to speak to the king of Israel and to warn him with a difficult message in a time when things seemed, relatively easy. To the north yet of Israel was the kingdom of Assyria, and they were exerting their muscle in various ways around the nations that encompass this part of the world. In fact, we're aware of those nations in part because of judgments of God that had to have been spoken by Amos and other prophets to places like Tyre and Philistia and Moab and Ammon and Edom and Syria, all being told that because they were unbelievers, unfaithful to the true God, not following the true God's word, that they would suffer discipline, indeed punishment, under the hand of mighty Assyria. And now it was Amos's job to go north, out of his home territory, go to the north, and tell those people, the same thing is coming to you. And this in a time, again, of relative prosperity. Judah and Israel were doing really pretty well, maybe the best that had been done since the days of Solomon under one kingdom. And yet under that circumstance, he had that difficult message as he spoke God's word boldly. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, Amaziah is the high priest of Bethel in the northern kingdom, which became, call it northern kingdom's Jerusalem. It became the capital, and in Amaziah's case, the center of worship. And there they practiced worship that was, well, a mix of the truth that still resided there in Jerusalem, where God had designated his temple and his people's focus for worship, but included things as shocking as a golden calf that they worshipped. This was no longer the worship of the true God. But Amaziah was priest of that mixed religion, priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. The priest said, "Amos, the prophet, is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words. For this is what Amos is saying. Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land." That was a difficult message. It was a message that was not something people wanted to hear, especially in this time of prosperity. They were just as willing to not really think about Assyria and to enjoy what they had. But Amos had the task of saying what God was saying to these people. And so he did. Warned them clearly, "Your king is going to die. You as a nation are going into exile." And that prophecy was fulfilled later. These became the 10 lost tribes of Israel, scattered and lost in the nations that Assyria had conquered. Amaziah told Jeroboam, "This prophet is doing you a difficult thing, giving you, King Jeroboam, a problem." Well, the problem was the truth, and that's what we do as we carry God's message boldly into the world, to speak God's word boldly. Very often that's a difficult message. It's difficult in part because, well, people are looking for an easier God, and sometimes they think they've found it in Jesus. A nice man. A good man. A man who set a good example. And the kind of man who, well, represents a God who, well, understands my mistakes, my missteps, my misunderstandings, but appreciates surely my good tries, my nice intentions, the circumstances in which I did or didn't do what I should or shouldn't have did. A God who gets it. Who will meet me where I'm at and like where I'm at and reward me here, and if there's a hereafter, fine. Our world is looking for that kind of fuzzy and cozy, vague sort of God that, well, keeps Assyria at a distance, keeps the reality of death and an afterlife, well, out of thought and mind. That message, that Jesus, is what our world wants to hear. It's an easy one. It's an easy one. Ours is the difficult task of, well, telling the truth about Jesus. And the first thing we have to do is tell the reason for Jesus, why God so loved the world, why God sent his Son into the world. And to do that, well, we have to call sin, sin. And tougher yet, sinners, sinners. And so, we speak God's truth boldly, even though sometimes it leaves people calling us difficult. People who are causing trouble the way Amos did up there in Israel. People who don't advance with the rest of culture when we say what simply God says about the relationship between a man and a woman, intended by God in its most intimate expression in the context of marriage. When God says, obey authority, respect authority, that's true in our time and in our place. When God speaks of priorities in one's life, that we have, first of all, a relationship with him, but also then expressions of that relationship with other people. How we keep the commandments, how we treat possessions, other people's reputations, where our thoughts and yearnings look for, as we live our life in this world. To say clearly to people that misplaced priorities are wrong. To say even among ourselves that as Christians who know Jesus, there are times when we fail and fall. That there are times when I misplace my priorities. When things that shouldn't come ahead of God do, whether that's a relationship with another person, my material possessions, my use of my time, my routine that I set in my family, whatever it is, we have that difficult message, and often, always, really, as we gather around God's word, we're talking to ourselves and saying, with this. I'm a sinner. And we say it to others as well. We say what God said, all have sinned. And that's not a matter of just hiding in a crowd. Well, I guess we're all sinners. No, no. That word speaks a difficult message to each one of us and finds us where our weak spots are, where we do fall and fail. But then it's our privilege also to speak God's word boldly about Jesus. The reason for Jesus has been established, sin and sinners. But this is the Jesus, God's Son, who came into the world to take away that sin. And his relationship with God and man, the first three commandments and the second seven, were perfect. He obeyed his heavenly Father in every way. Not just thought, word, and deed, but his very fiber, his reflexes, his instincts, his reactions, exactly as God wanted. And how he related with other people, whether his family, Mary and Joseph, his disciples, with his enemies even, those whom he encountered in his ministry, every one of those perfect. No lustful thought, no hateful wrong word, no insult, no pain administered, unless speaking sometimes this difficult message, and then it was necessary. Jesus had it perfectly, and not just so you and I could say, wow, that's how it's done. Not just so you or I could say, why, if I try really hard, no. In our place, for us, doing what we couldn't, obeying that law perfectly, and then giving up that innocent life on the cross to pay for our sins. And they're making the most marvelous exchange, taking his holiness, and by faith given us by the Holy Spirit, having it credited to us as ours, as though we'd lived it, and taking our sin and putting it squarely on him. Paul summed it up this way: God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might be the righteousness of God. It's a beautiful message, and you and I get it, but it's difficult in this world. Nevertheless, we speak it boldly, even to a hostile reception. Hostile reception such as Amos got so long ago. That conspiracy is being meted, and then a little later, Amaziah, again the priest, said to Amos the prophet, "Get out, you seer." Seer is seer. He sees ahead as he speaks God's word, as he speaks very often, but not always, the future. "Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. You're not even on your own turf. Earn your bread there and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy anymore in Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom." Amaziah the priest was saying to Amos the prophet, "You don't belong in this place. Scoot, go." Moreover, he was implying that Amos was up there just to make a buck, just to get a few shekels, somehow to earn his bread by being a problem up there in the north. And then finally as well, he offered this, the priest did, "You're in a place where you're too small, insignificant. This is the temple," they said, "there in Bethel. This is the king's capital. Go." Well, our reception may be difficult. The world does look at a gathering like this that's serious about this word that our God has given to us very often as people who are the very opposite of what we know God's word intends us to be. They would say, because you call sin a sin, because you speak the truth about God's relationships with him and with people, that somehow you're a divider. You are, pushing a kind of tension and friction in our world. They'll even call us haters, simply because we've said what needs to be said. That happens to us as a group, and we know that it happens to us as individuals. Sometimes a friendship founders on this, that our friend finds out, we really are serious about what God has to say. Sometimes a difficulty can arise among people when, we refuse to cut corners in the work that we know we've been tasked to do. The reception can be difficult to us as a group, but it happens to us also as people who live and move in all the various places where God has placed us. And sometimes we're looked upon as goody-goodies, people who are just a little too serious about this. Couldn't we all just kind of smooth it out and blend it together and just get along? Though the reception may be difficult, nevertheless, we say what needs to be said. And we say it clearly, to young and to old. We say it as we baptize a child and bring him into the faith. The Holy Spirit does through the power of the word there with the water. We say it in our Lutheran elementary school. It's across the day, not just in those devotion times, but across the day. The Word of God is taught and is behind everything that is explained and learned by the children, that is given to them that they might grow and prosper in this world, but most of all, that they might grow and prosper as daughters and sons of our God. It's there as we speak God's truth to one another, but also to the world around us, with opportunities certainly in our worship cycle, our opportunities to reach into our community, and well beyond. Though the reception may be difficult, nevertheless, we carry it out. We carry forth what God has intended us to do, which is to speak God's word boldly, because that's what he's called us to do. When Amaziah the priest said to Amos the prophet, "Look, get out of here. You're just here earning a buck. All you want to do is just advance yourself." Amos said calmly and quietly the following: "I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son." He had not been trained in the schooled in the usual way that they were as apprentices or even in a kind of school setting. "But I was a shepherd, and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel.'" Amos was saying, "This wasn't my idea. And I had an occupation. I was meeting my needs and those of my family if he had one." Amos says simply, "No, this was God's will, and he pulled me from those settings and sent me up here to say what needed to be said." Amos said simply, "God chose me." And it's interesting to note that he's saying essentially, "I was a layman. I was not part of the priestly or the prophet group that served God's people in the ways that those offices did." He says simply, "No, I was an ordinary citizen, if you can put it that way, whom God suddenly plucked from those settings and sent up here as a prophet." Speak God's word boldly. The Lord has chosen you to do it. And those words might at first make us think, and rightly so, of staff ministers, of teachers and of pastors, people who've been called to service from the settings in which they grew up. Called not in the way that Amos was, apparently, but guided in their lives to the point where, through encouragement and opportunity, they've been given the task to study, train for, and ultimately become pastors and teachers and staff ministers. This congregation has been blessed by that and has blessed other congregations as daughters and sons have gone forth. But it's important, notice also that as a layman, he didn't have that background or training. Speak God's word boldly. The Lord has called you to do it. That isn't necessarily about a robe and a microphone or a classroom or a particular niche of formal service. The Lord has called each of us when he brought us into the family of God through baptism, nurtured us in our faith, in fact, equipped us to speak. And so it is that we go forth, called by our God, placed into certain places where we have opportunity. Opportunity maybe, and maybe most obviously, in our own families. Think of those little babies that are brought very often to a couple in a marriage where they have opportunity then to, well, be missionaries. We said it clearly in the baptismal portion of our service. Those little ones are not born believers. We bring them to baptism that the Holy Spirit might grant the gift of faith, yes, even to that little child. And then in our families, we nurture that faith by opportunities to hear God's word, whether it be through children's books that appropriately for their age lay forth the truths of God's word. Certainly in the worship life where a child just knows it's Sunday and we're going, the Sunday school, the Christian day school. Those things are there to nurture and train. And parents have that blessed privilege placed by God or the child placed before them in their arms to be that first pastor, first teachers of that truth of God. But it goes on then through life. Children who encounter other kids at the playground or on the ball field. As young adults, perhaps scattering, maybe far from a home congregation to places and settings where people haven't had the same privilege and opportunity you've had, but you get into those late night discussions in the dorm. A crisis that a friend has gives you opportunity to share God's word. A friend sees you in a crisis and wonders, how did you get through that? And we have a chance to speak boldly and say, my Jesus lived and died for me, and no matter what happens in this life, he will take care of me, work it for my good somehow, and bring me home to heaven. When we live and work in our community, the employer who by his, her Christian example and how he, she treats others who serve in the settings where they have opportunity to make a business grow, be face-to-face with the public, take care of the details behind it, whatever it is, there's an opportunity to witness, certainly by our actions, but then as it presents itself, our words. Maybe it's that longtime neighbor whom we've always kind of greeted and, you know, talked over the business and news of the community, but suddenly the conversation gets serious when they've faced a crisis. Maybe it's that opportunity when we would never have put ourselves in this position, but suddenly we're flat on the back in the hospital. Ah, but that nurse notices our attitude, appreciates the fact that even in that setting, we know God's in charge and taking care of us. Maybe it's that roommate in that setting who hears the pastor's devotion or has opportunity to ask us later, does pastor always go, oh yeah, and does he always talk like that about sin and grace and God's, oh yes. Christians, speak God's word boldly. God has called you to do it. Likely not with the same process he put Amos in that position, but very much as he's guided our lives to the settings in which we live and serve in order that we might share that word. And we do it. We do it in the ways described. We do it as a Christian congregation, supporting by prayers and offerings the work that goes on formally in our name and informally, but just, and I'll say even more important sometimes, in the different places God sets us in our lives, homes, communities, and relationships. If that phobia poll, the poll of fears had been taken in Amos' day, the list might have been something different. They didn't necessarily have the same things in their lives. And it's to such a thing that Amos directed some attention earlier in his letter. It might have been a phobia about a wild animal, because those were still prevalent in that time. Amos wrote, "The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy?" He said that fear with the lion is an automatic. God has spoken, and for his people, it's an automatic to speak that word and to speak it boldly.